You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. In today's episode, the podcast will take a break from our normal interview format, instead presenting a palate cleanser, where UCB teachers and staff present official UCB news and updates, focus on a specific element of longform improv, and offer experimental one-off episodes. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Hey, you're listening to Long-Form Conversations. My name is Will Choi, and this is a palate cleanser episode with a few Asian-American performers at the UCB Theater. Let's talk about what it's like to be an Asian American performer at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles and in New York. We have a panel of three incredible improvisers and sketch performers, we could go introduce ourselves.
Hi, I'm Alex Song.
Hi, I'm Alan Pintal.
Hello, I'm Dhruvaday Singh.
Cool. So we're just going to talk and we'll do a quick intro of each performer and kind of, I guess, what teams you guys are on and, I don't know, just whatever you guys want to talk about. So I'll just start. My name is Will Choi. I am the creator of Asian AF, or Asian as Fuck. It's an Asian American variety show at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles and New York.
I'm Alex. I just recently switched coasts from New York. So I mostly did UCB New York, where I co-hosted Asian AF. I was on Herald Night on the team Fluffy. Did Mod Night for a while. And I can't I just spent all my time there. I don't remember what else I did there.
Nice.
Cool. I'm Alan. On the Mondegreen. Oh no, I'm on the Herald team Mondegreen and the Mod team Thirst Trap and the Indie team Cool Asian 420.
Yeah.
And one of the co-hosts of the Asian AF offshoot show, spin-off show, Filipino AF.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. I'm Dhruv. I perform on the Herald team Queen George. And I was on Mod Night, performed on Mr. Bird, wrote on Nephew. I performed at Asian AF with Voltron, Benetton once a month, co-host I'm Too Up and High, a couple other shows.
Yeah, and the upcoming South Asian AF show.
That's right, the upcoming South Asian AF show.
Yeah. I asked all of you guys in particular to come because I knew that you guys have been pretty involved at UCB, both in mod and in improv. Or in Herald Night. And so, yeah, I just kind of wanted to talk about your guys' experience, I guess starting off at UCB and what it's like being an Asian American performer here and what it was like for you guys starting off and how it is now. And in particular, you know, we're all different races too in the Asian American spectrum. So the more specific questions of like, being Filipino or Indian or Chinese and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just wanted to see if what you guys had to say about that stuff.
Where to begin? It's hard. Don't do it. No, it's good. I don't know. It seems like it's a hard question to answer.
It's pretty much the same as being a white performer, I would say.
Yeah.
With a few wrinkles thrown in.
Yeah. I would say it's not at all like
I mean, at least for me, from my experience, when I was coming up, certainly there were very few other Asian performers at all, and certainly no other Indian or South Asian performers. Now there's, you know, happily the scene's kind of slowly bubbling up, and I think it's in no small part due to shows like Asian AF, due to some visibility on Herald Night increasing. I think that helps a lot. And maybe a slight cultural shift also gradually creeping up. But when I was coming up, it was definitely just a matter of, I don't know, not really seeing anyone quite like you. And so you had to kind of feel... I had to kind of, you had to kind of have that feeling a little bit of like, well, I got to kind of carve out my own space a little because I'm not exactly going to be the same voice that I see represented a lot, especially when I was coming up. And I don't mean to sound pejorative about the state of it, but it was, you know, it was every team was maybe seven dudes, one woman, all white. It was just, that was just the nature of the beast because that was what the improv scene was at the time. And I'm not saying that led to a certain type of improv, but at least when I was coming up, for whatever reason, it felt like there was a lot more hipster improv, for lack of a better word. It was very sort of...
Oh, interesting.
You know what? It was very like kind of ironically detached. Yeah, bro, you want to do this?
Yeah.
I think the game of like five scenes I saw every Harold Knight were, yeah, you're gay. That's unusual. Oh, you know what I mean? It was kind of bro-y. I don't know. I'm not saying that was... I think there was a particular time. There was an era of people who have now been... happily ousted from the theater, bros and bullies who I won't name, but they kind of ruled the theater at one point.
God. Right,
the era of bros and bullies.
Yeah.
When did you start? Sorry,
1993. No,
like that's a while back.
I took my first class in 2012, I think. So not even that, not crazy long.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. I remember when Rococo, your previous Herald team was formed. That was like, what, 2014, 2015?
Yeah, 2014. Yeah.
Around that time. And then just UCB just being so proud of that team.
We were like the most diverse team on Herald.
It was the most diverse,
to that point. Yeah, and now happily there's so many more examples.
That felt like a huge moment because I think I started classes at the end of 2013. Mm-hmm. And all the Herald teams at that time were like, six white dudes, maybe two women, and maybe one person of color. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it felt like there was competition in classes to be like, okay, it's going to be either me or that Asian person.
Right.
And so, late after Rococo, I was like, oh, no, we can all be up there together.
Yeah, New York didn't have that. For a long time, it did just feel like, oh, yeah, there can only be one. Like, for a while, there was one Asian person on Lloyd Knight, and then there was none. And then, but I remember thinking like, oh yeah, they already have one. They don't need another one. Out of like, so Lloyd Knight has six teams, I guess, of eight people. And there was just the one.
Wow.
It's gotten a little better now, but I still think I don't want to alienate New York. I think LA is doing a little better.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not a nice thing. It's nice that the scene's changing in that sense a lot. But I definitely feel like there is an element of like when you are coming up in that, you kind of do feel a little bit like, well, I gotta really stand out. You can't. Mm-hmm. There's no room to be even slightly mediocre. You know, so that it does make you work extra hard.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. Being like an Asian performer, just to even be noticed, you have to be like 150% better than everyone else.
Because there's like a thing, like people would come up to me, like my friends after like grad shows would be like, oh, I didn't think you would be so funny.
Wow.
And it's like, I'm pretty sure, you know, the inherent thing there is like, oh, she's an Asian woman, she's gonna be quiet and not funny.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so I have to be like extra loud and like extra energetic to like prove that I'm not what you think I'm gonna be.
I just, that whole competition thing back in the day was so real. It was like you saw like on indie night, like if you did an indie show or something, you saw like another Asian performer in another team, and of course it was only one, and it was just like constantly just comparing myself to that person, being like, oh, I'm better, I'm funnier than that person, or whatever, and just keeping tabs of like those people. And then somehow it just shifted now where, you know, if I see a performer, I clock them. I'm like, oh, they're really great. I need to remember this person because I want to feature them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So,
I think Asian AF played a huge part in like the first time Will and Keiko brought it to New York. It like felt magical to see that many Asian people on stage, but also in the audience at UCB East. I just had never seen like the majority of that room not be white before.
Yeah. Same here. When it first was out here, it was seismic. Because it was at the Sanctum first, at the Scarlett Johansson Presents show, and it was like, first of all, it was like 300 people or something. Yeah. It was more than both Sunset and Franklin combined were in that room. and it was mostly Asian, and it felt like, holy shit, we've never seen this before. It's cool. Yeah,
it was so insane, that first show. And then just the energy from the audience is just like, they're so happy to just even see three teams at the time, three Asian American teams. And yeah, I just remember being so overwhelmed by it. I couldn't even imagine that was going to happen with that show. I had no idea.
Yeah. It was also like the first time that it felt like the Inner Sanctum Theater could be like a place to hold big events. Because, mm-hmm. I don't want to shit on it, but sometimes it feels like an afterthought. Like, you have the two main stages and also Inner Sanctum, mm-hmm. but it's like you can do cool stuff in there and like bring audiences in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That are bigger than.
Way bigger. Else. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool.
Yeah. Did you, specifically for you guys being Asian females, Asian American females, and being Chinese and Filipino, like, how was that for you guys coming up?
I'll take this question.
Yeah. Please. I was looking at you the whole time. You don't have to.
Yeah, I definitely relate to what Alan said about, like, there was the stereotype or the expectation that we'd be quiet and also not emote enough in scenes and just, like, just having to kind of overcome that. I do think I kind of grew up a little shyer also, so it wasn't a thing that I didn't not fulfill. And then doing improv, just having to, like, finding my own voice, but then also, like, feeling like I could take up space on a team was something I had to learn.
Yeah, it's interesting, because even now on Herald Night, I'm, like, extremely cautious of, like, how many scenes have I been in? Like, am I allowed to keep being on this stage? And then I was talking with someone who was like, I don't want to toot my own horn, but they're like, you're not really someone people are, like, thinking that you're going to steamroll a scene. Mm. So I think, like, just owning, like, oh, I do belong here on this stage. Because especially when I first got on, I was like, oh, no, people are going to think I only made Herald Night because I'm an Asian woman. Like, people don't think I'm funny enough. People are going to think I'm just, the diversity hire.
Which people still do think. Oh, yeah. Like, people say stuff. You know what I mean? And it's annoying, but that is something people think.
And I kind of went crazy the first night because I tallied up everyone on Herald Night, like, by gender and by race. And I was like, oh, wait, it's just me and Kathy as the Asian females on this side. So I'm like, so if people think that, then I should be like, yeah, maybe I am a diversity hire. And even then, it's not fulfilling anything, so who cares?
I was the shortest person on my Herald team.
Oh, yeah?
Does that count?
Yeah, that's...
The next shortest person was 5'7".
Oh. Okay.
It was a girl? Yeah.
That's a tall girl, 5'7".
Yeah, and then everyone else was like 5... Like, all the other girls were like 5'9 or taller, and so that was really hard for me.
Sometimes I forget how short I am until I see pictures of myself and, like, my neck is, like, strained all the way back to look at my teammates. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm barely at anyone's armpits.
Yeah, I don't realize it until I see a picture for, like, the stage picture is just, like, a line and then it goes down.
Way down,
And so you guys have all been on MOD as writers?
Both actor and writer. Yeah,
yeah, but all writers for you guys here.
I was just a writer.
Yeah, just a writer. How was that for you guys? Was that something that... did Asian-ness play a role in that at all or not? And totally fine if it didn't, but just wondering.
I feel like I'm still fairly new to MOD, so I'm still just trying to find my voice as a sketch writer.
Right.
I don't think I've, like, consciously... I think sometimes when I'm thinking about pitches, there have been a couple that I'm like, will people get this? Or, like, just thinking about the makeup of your actors, it's like, well, I can't write this person that is clearly me because there's not an Asian woman actress on my team, so I can't write this sketch. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I guess, just trying to write a sketch that's just funny, that will, be funny no matter who's playing it is... Right. Try what I'm trying to get at right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was a writer on Mod in 2014 and 2015. So when I was doing it, I still was not at the point with myself of being proud of being Asian. So I was just writing white people sketches. Also, the team, the actors were all white. And then my second Mod team, we somehow became the most diverse team by having me and then a Latina woman as an actor and... I think he was like Afro-Latino, the male actor. And so somehow we became the most diverse team, but it also didn't help of like they wanted to do sketches about their experience. But I was like, I'm a person of color, but I don't know how to write.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of just like it felt like cool diversity, but we didn't do anything with it. Mm-hmm. We didn't have the skills to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty similar experience in a way. Mod was actually my sort of entry point in the theater, and since I got on a year before Harold, and I think it really helped in that sense. It's a phenomenal team that I got to be a part of. They were already vets. It was Nephew. It was also all white actors, so I never felt like I could. There were a couple times when I wanted to write something that was, you just, it's different when you're writing for yourself or when you're writing for, you know, people who can somehow reflect your experience. It's just different. You can write different kinds of sketches. So that does play a little bit of a part in that it does box you in a little. On the other hand, like you said, you end up developing a skill to be like, well, I can write for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It does. I've had that. I have had the experience of even when writing for myself, if you're right, depending on who your director is, you know, there are challenges in presenting stuff that's from your experience, I think, because if the director doesn't have that background to get it, they're a little less likely to showcase it or to shepherd it in a certain direction.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I don't know. On the other hand, on Mr. Bird, when I was performing there, I pitched a sketch that I then got to co-write and did reflect my experience well and used it well. So I don't know. It's tricky. I think the trick is that if you are on a Mod team as a writer and you don't have the ability to like funnel somebody who looks like you or can channel your experience on stage, then it's a good idea to use that experience to be like, great, let me just get good at writing the other types of sketches that don't have to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
But keep writing that shit for yourself, because I think it's important to have a fully honed arsenal. Mm-hmm. And why deny yourself some part of your experience?
Right.
Yeah.
Was there any UCB performers coming up that you looked up to in particular? Obviously, it doesn't have to be Asian American, but just wondering who are the people that, I guess, when you guys started, you're like, oh, that's maybe a big reason why you wanted to be a part of the UCB community or be on stage?
Well, for me, it was, you know, Eugene Cordero, because... I saw him when I was in 101, and I think he was like the first Filipino performer I'd seen on the main stage with the Smokes. And I think when he came out on stage, I was like, and then the first time I went to Cage Match, I saw one of Renee's indie teams perform. Mm-hmm. And I think the two of them together were like, oh, I can do this. I could, mm-hmm. you know, have something to aim for.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just like the power of representation.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
totally.
Just seeing someone being like, oh, they're doing that, okay,
yeah.
I maybe I can do it too.
While coming up, I feel like it was all Eugene, definitely. I once I saw him, was amazing, but I feel like it was mostly like white guys, just because that was who was doing it. So I was always like, yeah, I'd love to play like Craig Kukowski, who played over at IO or still does, Zach Woods, you know, people. I was just kind of looking at people. Tammy Sager. I guess it was almost all white people, just because that was who was there.
Sure.
So I never really had that experience. I think it's also because I've never had the identity, sorry, since I grew up in India, but since being in America, of being Asian. In America, the term usually doesn't apply to South Asian people, I think. In England, it's a whole, or Europe, it's a whole different story.
Mm-hmm.
And so because of that, I knew I was never going to see like an Indian or a South Asian person on stage. So I just never never had that mm-hmm. thought. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but I mean, if you think about it, you're kind of the first one, right?
Yeah.
At UCB on a team.
Yeah, UCB.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But now it's blown up. Now it's getting...
Yeah, mm-hmm. But I mean, like still, I bet you there's so many people who are coming through classes right now who have been watching you and been who are who are South Asian and being like, well, that guy's doing it. Like,
yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I think so. I think that does, if you see anyone even slightly open a door, you know what I mean? You want, you feel like, okay, great, we can all walk through that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I hope so.
Yeah.
I also, Eugene had already moved here long before I started in New York, so I didn't get to see him perform until this past January at SF Sketchfest with Asian AF. And it, man, blew my mind.
He's so great.
Yeah. But... yeah, coming up, I liked Will Hines and Kate Riley. Just, you know, very nice white people.
Yeah, I remember seeing Eugene in Diamond Lion back in 2011 or 2012 and just being like, whoa, this is crazy. I've never seen, in particular at UCB, I hadn't seen anyone, and he was the first person that I saw. So I was just blown away and... obviously thought I could never be as good as that guy, but he was such a big influence. And then once I finally got to take a class with him back in 2013, 2014 or something, and then I just remember in the class somehow we were all in a class email chain, and then it just broke off into just me, Eugene, and Keiko, and just privately emailing each other. Somehow it just happened, and then just being like, oh shoot, this guy is really cool and he cares about diversity. And so once kind of Scarlett Johansson Presents and Asian AF came out, mm-hmm. started happening, he was kind of our champion for the show. He was the one that was kind of giving us advice and helping us kind of navigate our way into producing the shows, because we didn't know what we're doing. So he was a big part of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
Should do some improv?
Yeah, you want to do some improv?
We've just talked about.
I wanted to ask, so one thing about Asian AF, and if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, what the hell is that? Asian AF is a variety show that has now kind of spun off, like we said, and it's started in LA and now in New York, which Alex was producing, and then we also have Filipino AF and Drew now going to be hosting a soon-to-be South Asian AF show. And that's also one thing about the show that I like, that it doesn't really get talked about, but it's also not just raising up performers, but raising up producers. So I think that's a cool thing that I'm always trying to keep in mind of being I like these performers. They might not have producing experience, or they're very new to it. But I think it's cool that they're excited about it. So for you guys, what was it like producing a show, whether it was your first show or not, but just producing this specific show, the ones that you guys are producing?
Oh yeah, it was so much work, because I've hosted indie shows in the past, but those were just book them and let them do whatever on stage. So when we did the first Filipino AF, I think every day we were texting or emailing Will. Right. We'd text each other and be like, I don't know how to do this. Someone ask Will. But you were such a great person to just kind of hold our hand through the whole thing of how to promote, when to drop big announcements, mm-hmm. how to ask people, how to approach media about, trying to cover our show. There's three of us co-producing and co-hosting Filipino AF, and I think we all get so burnt out. So after the first one, I was like, how does Will do this? But it's an experience. Yeah. But it's always the week leading up to Filipino AF, it's God, okay, just a few more days. Yeah. But then afterwards, you get that high of wow, everything just fell into place and it was great. And it makes you just want to do more.
Yeah. I mean, how was it doing that first Filipino AF show? Because there were, I think almost 300 people there.
Yeah. It was insane, because the thing with, Inner Sanctum is, there's no ticket sales to go off of. So you're just kind of hoping that the Facebook invite, like people saying going or is going to be mm-hmm. accurate. Mm-hmm. But we're always just like, well, if 10 people show up, that's fine, right? And then having, I think it was like 280 people show up, it was like, wow, people are hungry for this. People want this type of comedy and entertainment. And it was just, it was, I don't know, just highlight of my life.
That's great.
Yeah, I definitely, I think, well, the thing I admire so much about you is your ability to like get the word out and kind of like mobilize this whole community that I didn't even know existed in New York of like the Asian American audience to like come and go to that. So it's been really cool, like seeing, because I think you still do the brunt of the like promoting and stuff even on this side of the country for the New York show, but. In terms of producing, Dan Lee, my co-host, he does most of it, but I really love being able to, like, kind of pluck, like, oh, this is a person I just met last month who's, like, she just started, or she started a year ago, but she's, like, getting really good. I'd love to get her on a show and kind of, like, just, like, expose her to this audience and also, like, just so that's like been my favorite part, is just being like, oh, this is a person I believe in and I really want to get them on the show, and having the ability to do that.
Yeah. And then also shout out to Dan for leading the charge in New York. He is truly a great producer, and he didn't really have any experience going into it too, so like I had met him kind of just randomly, and so when Asian AF happened in New York, he was like, yeah, I'll take over. And I was like, okay, great. And so, you know, he definitely learned on the job, but, you know, he's been really great at just keeping the show going. And in June is going to be our one-year anniversary in New York for Asian AF. So, yeah. So thank you guys for keeping it going for as long as it has.
Yeah, Will, real super producer. I don't know how you do it. I think the first show I properly produced solo was like, it's a show that ran for a little bit, basically until I wanted to stop doing it because it was so much work month after month, called The Sound of Silence, that ran out here, which was like, the premise was like a completely non-verbal variety show. So with no words from top to bottom of the show. So it was just, you know, different bits, different stuff, the sketches, or even there were like sometimes there'd be little sort of strange clowning pieces or dance numbers or whatever, and that it was work because when it's an all silent show, the tech tends to be a little nuts, like people go a little crazy sometimes to make it to compensate for the words with tech, and it was super fun to do. Every single show I felt so good about. I loved doing it, but it was a lot of work, and I guess the key with it too is, I think the key to, I don't know if it's a key to producing a show, at least one of the keys to it is having some sort of vision for what you want it to look like, because then you can really slot everything in its right place. You can say no to certain pieces and yes to certain pieces. You can really have a shape to the whole show. That was what I took away from that.
Yeah, that's a good thing. And I don't, you know, chime in if you guys have had this experience with your own shows, but like saying no is so hard sometimes, or like being like, I don't agree with this certain thing, so I'm sorry, but I have to, I have to say no. Like, I don't know if you guys had that experience with your guys' show, but that's the hardest thing for me sometimes, without being too specific, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like for the first Filipino AF, we like put out a call for submissions and got overwhelmed, and it was like just trying to piece through all of the sketches or people's stand-up videos, and it's like, like everyone's good, but it's also like, will this fit into like the larger piece of the show?
Right.
And it's tough because it's like, then we want to put them on hold for like another show. Then it's like, will it still fit there? And also just trying to keep in mind, like I'm very much a champion of like, well, we got to make sure that, you know, we have female performers, because it always just tends to skew male.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, totally.
So it's like just trying to keep that in mind. is tough because you just want to book good people, and it's like, well, we also have to keep in mind what it looks like as a whole.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that made a big difference for me with in booking the Sound of Silence. I think mm-hmm. for just proving once and for all, at least for myself, the value of a diverse cast, because on Sound of Silence there's no speaking, so it's just literally what you're seeing people do. And you can still feel the difference in experience in the kind of material people brought to mm-hmm. it when it was different. And there was something visceral about it. Because mm-hmm. when it's a silent show, I think there's something that hits you on a pre-verbal level. I feel like especially by the end of the show, the laughs that are coming are way more interesting yeah. to me. Mm-hmm. The audience is paying attention in a way that they're not paying attention when there's words, because there's something primitive about it, predates language.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like there was something way cooler about seeing people from different, mm-hmm. Definitely a gender balance show. I feel like that should be, if you're not at least aiming for 50-50 of every show, then I don't know why you, I don't know what yeah. you're thinking production. That should be baseline.
Right.
And then yes. let's think about also, like, you know, making it very diverse, racially diverse in backgrounds. But I feel like that, it clicked something in my head where it made me feel the quality of the show get 300% better mm-hmm. when it was, like, mm-hmm. people from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
You could just feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, that's always important, of just like looking at the lineup and seeing how kind of balanced it is. And yeah, there have been shows where like initial pre-lineup is like, and I kind of like slot everyone, and I'm like, oh shoot, like there are no female, like, it just, mm-hmm. and you know, it's just kind of like, there's so many factors. It's like, who's available,
yeah.
Who have I wanted to have on for a while and mm-hmm. and stuff. So it's like kind of looking at that and then seeing that it does skew, you know, it does normally skew to like a male heavy show, but and always being conscious of that, and then being like, okay, well, we can move things around so that, you know, I think having a balanced show, it just keeps it more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something that I always kind of keep in mind.
Here's a question for you guys, for if you've ever produced stuff with I produce a show, I won't name it just because I don't want to, it's not about that show specifically, but it's more about it, but like, well, I produce stuff sometimes with other people who are all white and all male.
Mm-hmm.
A few, it's not like I'm not talking like 20 people, I'm talking a few other, sure. other people, but mm-hmm. we do run into that issue sometimes where I'm like, I don't think, also I say all these cautionary tales and I'm like, there's no way 3 white people are listening to this. They see, if they're looking at their podcast list and they see Asian American Roundtable, nope.
Yeah, it did occur to me of like,
so you can say whatever
I wonder
you want.
Yeah.
Heavy, so what if we leave a little clue for white people somewhere in the middle of it? Anyways, go on with your story.
Just a reward for having, having actually listened to
it. Oh my gosh. Well, just seeing Crash.
Yeah.
All right, if you're a white person and you're listening to this and you hit me up, I'll coach your team for free.
Whoa. Oh my god.
They're all white team.
You're all white
team. Yeah, you're all white team.
Oh my god.
But sometimes that happens where like, I think it's just an unconscious thing because it's what they're used to, but mm-hmm. they'll book a show where the whole lineup is either all or 90% other white guys, you know?
Yeah.
And I often feel like I'm a broken record sometimes where I'm like, guys, can we just switch? Can we book? And it almost wears you down to a certain point where you're like, I don't know if I should keep doing this or mm-hmm. bringing it up because
mm-hmm.
I don't want to be that one person protesting.
Right.
But you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Have you guys ever dealt with stuff like that? And if so, how?
Yeah, like, because I still think, as much as there's been like a cultural shift and like a lot of diverse teams, like the indie scene is still mostly white. So it's like when we're booking my monthly indie show, we'll be like, okay, who do we want to book? And like, we'll throw out all these names, and it's like, okay, these are all white dudes we've named so far. Like mm-hmm. But then it's this terrible thing of like, okay, who are like the female performers we want? And it's somehow harder to think of it.
Right.
And it's like, there can't be that few that we're having this much trouble thinking of it, especially like trying to find an all female team. There's like, you know, the few that pop to your head right away. And it's like, if we've booked them already, it's like, who else is there? And it's like, how come, like, why is it so hard?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always running into that month after month. And it's like, I don't know. Just also trying to be aware, like, I don't nearly go to as many indie shows as I want to or as I used to. But whenever I do, I'll, you know, like you said earlier, Will, it's like, if I see an all-female team or I see an all-Asian team, I'll put them in the back of my head to be like, okay, I'm going to look out for them and I'm going to, you know, invite them to the next show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't really been in a position to like be like booking indie improv teams in a couple of years, but I did produce a show last summer at the New Ohio Theater in New York. They just like were doing kind of like a one-off series of like late night comedy shows, and I think the whole thesis for that show was like the way I wanted it to go was like it was called Supporting Characters, and it was just people who would normally only be cast as a supporting character. So I had I framed it so I asked my one white male friend, straight white male friend, to be the token white guy, and the show was framed like, oh, this is all about him, and I kill him off in the first minute of the show. So all these like other like anyone who's not a straight white male comedian like comes and does like 10 minutes and like essentially is auditioning to see if they can carry a show. But it was like such a fun and everybody, I like gave them no parameter besides like you have 10 minutes to do whatever you want, and like each person we just had like women, gay men, like all different races, and everybody brought like a different thing, like somebody read from their journal, somebody did storytelling, someone did character, someone did stand up, and that part wasn't even intentional, they just all brought something different, and I really want to do something like that again, of just like almost intentionally making like, okay, there's just like, we're gonna kill the white guy in the first minute and then see how this goes.
Yeah. So I wanted to say how for me producing Asian AF on top of you know, keeping a show of gender balance, it's also racial diversity within the Asian American spectrum, and how that has been a struggle for me too, because you know, for Asian Americans, and this is kind of part of a larger conversation, but when you think Asian American, you naturally, you know, think of East Asian. I think that's just kind of the, and you kind of mentioned it too, Dhruv. And so how for me when I book Asian AF, like, how do I get the most diverse show even within an Asian American context? And that
has, gotta book all white guys.
Yeah, that's a that's what I gotta do. There's gonna be one show where it's just gonna, I'm gonna surprise everyone.
Oh my god. It's gonna be April Fool's Day show.
Yeah, that's a great April.
Everyone's in yellow face.
Oh god. Oh my god.
Perfect. Like taped back up.
Yeah, I know. Oh my god. And just doing terrible accents, stereotypical accents.
But it's like the best performers. Yeah, that you see. Oh, the best white guys. It's Will Hines.
I will allow it, you guys. No, but even that has been a challenge for me, because there are just a lot of East Asian performers, more so than I feel like the other races, at least within this UCB community. And so starting off, that was it was a big challenge to kind of like, I'm like, oh God, at least there's Dhruv, you know, like for South Asian, you know, representation. And like, it was so tough in the beginning because I just didn't know too many. We got lucky with Voltron, because Voltron is the kind of house team of Asian AF that performs every month, and within that team, it's all people who were on Herald Night at a certain point. And you know, you have two Filipino guys, you have Dhruv, South Asian, you have Sarah Claspel, who's a quarter Korean, Kim Cooper, who is a Korean adoptee, Zach and Kathy, who are half Japanese, half white. And so like, just by chance that worked out. You know, like it's like, oh this is great, there's such a diverse representation within this one team. And so so that was really cool.
It's cool. Yeah, and something that's interesting about it, and I found this I tell me how you guys feel about this, but from like, I imagine this must be what it's like to be like coming up in classes of the theater or whatever, if you're white, when you see most of the classes are other white people, or especially a white guy, you know, it must be something like it where I feel like I can play differently with Voltron, even though we're diverse within it, even though some of them I'm friends with from a while back, some of them I'm not, you know, I don't know as well. There's something different that happens on stage. Similar with Benetton, a team I play on, that's like all brown and black performers, and there's something different that happens on stage. And now, very only recently did I play with like a completely South Asian team. Again, something different happens, and it's not that the material is dramatically different. It's not like we're doing scenes all about being Asian, but there's some sort of fluidity that happens that I don't know.
I think it's just a common understanding.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
I'll say, like, at the very first Filipino AF, we had, like, a whole scene about, like, cotillions and debuts, like, the big celebration of a woman's life in Filipino culture when she turns 18. And it was just this moment where I was like, I've never done this in all the years I've done improv. But I've done so many, like, bar mitzvah scenes. I've never been to a bar mitzvah. Right. But I had to learn what happens so that I can know. But I was like, I had to do that, but no one's ever, like, none of my white teammates are going to learn what a cotillion is. And it was just this like moment of like, this is my life. Yeah. I'm playing my life on stage.
Yeah. And then in front of an audience that gets it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So like, yeah, and I forgot to also mention Lelon Bowden, who's also on Voltron. In the beginning, it was pretty tough to kind of like find those performers. And so starting Filipino AF and now South Asian AF, it's like opening the doors to people who might not necessarily be within this UCB, you know, community or whatever. But like now there's just a bigger pool of people to pull from, which is super cool. I think that that's been for me a really kind of amazing part of this whole experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I really also got to give props to the UCB Theater for being okay with it. That's not the case at most theaters. No, you know, it's nice that it is still a work in progress, obviously, as all these things are, but it's nice that it's actually happening. So.
I think UCB is doing such a great job at embracing diversity, you know, especially with the diversity program and stuff. I mean, that's the reason why Asian AF is here, you know, like that program was such a big influence for me.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, they have the Diversity Jam also, and they try to do different themes every month. Doing that jam, like co-hosting it as a jam leader, was one of the first times I felt like, oh, whoa, like I've never seen these players, like these students who are normally like the quiet ones on the back line, like so free and like just like killing it up there and being able to like live their experience from life on that stage and have everybody in the room understand.
Same with the jam here. I think I co-hosted it for a little bit, and it was such a cool experience to see people who had seen around the scene sometimes really feel free. And I think that helps you get your sea legs, you know.
Yeah, it just gets you more comfortable just being on stage, I think, and then you can kind of find yourself in a different arena where, you know, maybe race doesn't have to play as big as a part.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, from my point, because I was coming up at a time where I literally just felt like I was the only one always from my background, or even sometimes the only just person of color in any given room or team. If you are coming up and you are finding that situation, I mean, I think you just got to do kind of what Alan was saying earlier. Just you got to like own your space on the team. You just got to be like, fuck it. I'm just going to be a loud voice and take up room on this and even bring your experience to it. That's the challenging part sometimes, I think, where you're like, sometimes you can feel like you got to not break. I grew up in a different country. I spent the first half of my life so far, you know, in Bombay growing up. And I feel like I have such a different realm of experiences that for a long time, even my first year on Harold Knight, I feel like I never brought to most of the improv I did. I'm not saying you need to like force it in there, but we all have unique cultural experiences probably that other people on like our teams probably don't have.
Right.
And I think you don't want to stifle that either, because it'll usually lead to way more interesting work if there's a mashup of backgrounds happening. Yes. You know, every scene doesn't have to be about the latest Star Wars movie or whatever thing that, I'm not saying that's what everyone cares about. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice to bring in, it's nice to own it. And you got to kind of, you need to try it out. You might get a little pushback at first, but keep doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I totally used to censor myself, like, when I first started out, because I was like, okay, no one's going to get this. But, yeah, it's like, who cares? Just say it, and if they don't know what it is, then that's their problem, not yours.
Yeah, they just need to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you are the one white person listening to this right now, thank you, first of all. That's very, very cool of you, because it's not, I don't know, it's just, I would listen to all the white podcasts, but I feel like you wouldn't, so that's cool. But also, if you are, and, you know, I think it's nice to be, don't dismiss it, or don't, like, let it... Yeah. Don't let it be a thing that someone shouldn't do.
Don't let that be the weird thing of the scene either. Just accept it as part of the norm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Base reality. Keywords.
Do you guys have any final words that you guys want to say? Any last things? I don't know. Just it doesn't have to be related to anything.
I guess just like a summary of everything we've been saying.
Yeah.
own that stage. You belong there. Let your voice be heard.
Yeah.
Bring your experience. Because just, be true to yourself. Be true to your heart. 98 degrees.
Oh, Mulan.
Mulan.
Oh, see, there's a tie in.
I tied it in.
Yeah. It all wraps up in that third beat.
And see.
I would say it's okay and also encouraged to support each other and have each other's backs instead of, healthy competition's fine. But, like, it's very nice to have found, like, a tribe. Mm.
Cool. Yeah, I agree. I think those are great points. I don't know. What's a good closing thought, Dan?
Anything you want.
You know, you're going to have a lot of challenges, all right? You're going to. Just, like, accept that and then work harder. You're probably doing that already. If you're listening to this, you're probably, like, a hard worker. I don't know if that's what I feel like, right?
If you're listening to a specialist
nerdy podcast on improv, specifically a roundtable on being an Asian American performer, I don't know. You're probably, like, you're working hard, so keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, Drew's really, like, boiled down, like, who
who is the listener.
That's my main concern.
Also, who's this? Come say hi. I don't know.
I'm
assuming you're in L.A. Like, I'd be down to talk about stuff.
Yeah, I'd be down to talk.
Yeah.
Come talk.
I think that's a really great thing that also I've learned just being an improviser and actor and just person in L.A. In the entertainment industry is just don't be afraid to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to, if you know, after a show, just go up to someone that you might have seen and just say, great job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's okay. The doors are open.
Yeah. Because I would say 99% of the time, the people who are on stage or whatever want to talk to you, you know, and they want to kind of, number one, if it's an improv show, no one like goes up to you afterwards and is like, hey man, like that was really great, like can I learn from you or whatever. but I just think that don't be afraid to ask for help or ask for advice. I think that's a really big thing.
We're all in this together.
Yeah,
that's right.
We're all in this together.
Go through my agent though. I don't want.
Yeah. So cool, great. Thank you guys so much. I'm just gonna do a little quick shout out to some people who are not here that I feel like deserve to be shouted out to. So once again, thank you to Dan Lee who produces Asian AF New York. Thank you to Joy Regulano and Eric Tomola who also co-produce and co-host Filipino AF, who have a couple shows coming up in the next few months.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah. And then also Shilpa Das, who is co-producing the South Asian AF show.
That's right. I don't know if this will come out before then, right?
It'll be after. Okay. But
we had an amazing show.
It's an amazing show.
Oh my God.
It's going to be great. Down. Yeah. And thank you to Keiko again, who co-produces Asian AF LA with me. And also Mike Lane, who also was there from the beginning with us too, who set the groundwork for us for Asian AF. So thank you to those guys. And really quickly, we'll go around and, you know, if there's anything you guys want to plug or some social media, you can do that.
Oh, sure. Okay. My name is Alex Song. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Alex Snog. It's like Alex Song, but with a typo.
Cool. Alan Pintal. Catch me on Herald Night with Mondegreen, Mod Night with Thirst Trap, monthly show in the Inner Sanctum, Cool Asian 420 presents the dial-up show.
So busy.
Yeah, or find me on Instagram at Hey Alan, HeyAllyn. Yeah, I'm only at 600 followers, guys. I need more.
Yeah. I'm Dhruvaday Singh. I have more followers than Alan.
It's true.
I don't post any pictures, so don't follow me on Instagram. It's completely useless. I don't know why people follow me on Instagram. There's no pictures. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Catch me on any of these shows. And thank you for listening. It's very nice. Thanks, Beth and the UCB Theater for supporting
us. Thank you, Shannon, on the East Coast.
Yeah, thank you, Shannon. And my name is Will Choi. You can follow me at Will Choi on Instagram, at Will S. Choi on Twitter. And you can follow Asian AF and Filipino AF.
Yeah,
so Asian AF, the website is AsianAFShow.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Asian AF Show. And then also on Instagram is at Filipino AF.
Yes.
Yeah, please follow us on all the social media. We update all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We love kind of just being able to showcase all the amazing acts that we have at our shows, both in LA and New York. Thank you guys so much for listening. All the Asian people that are listening and no white people, apparently. I'm just kidding. Remember that Dhruv is going to coach your team if you're a white person.
I will, if there is like an all South Asian team, because someone did hit me up about this, I'll for real will coach y'all for free. Just
a South Asian team?
Yes, please. Yeah. We need to get, even not even all. If you're just like, just hit me up. I would love to coach you guys. Just,
yeah.
Please. We need to inject some more.
Yeah, we need some more of that. So, yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you to the UCB Theater for this wonderful podcast. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Zig, who has engineered us all the way to the end of this podcast. Once again, thank you to Beth and Shannon and all the people here at this wonderful theater. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to the UCB Long Form Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.